The following is Voices of Experience radio show and podcast. No promotional fees are paid by authors or other guests who appear on the show. If you have comments or suggestions, call the Voices of Experience hotline at 425-653-1166. That's 425-653-1166.
Welcome to Voices of Experience on KIXI AM 880 and KKNW 1150 AM. My name is Paul Casey, and we are here today to talk about more issues surrounding people with experience. And how are you, Eric?
I'm doing great.
Tell me, really well. You got a good interview today as far as we're talking about roofs, right?
This
is the time to talk about this when you got spring and summer on the way, right?
Yeah, you don't want to be talking about this in the middle of winter when it's leaking. And I know we've been there before. You know, it happens. So, this is the time to be talking about roofing. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk with the owner, of Orca Roofing. And his name, coincidentally, is also Eric. And we're going to learn all about kind of what roofs are best for the Northwest, what kind of to avoid, and if you're seeking someone out, what questions to ask. Because if you're not a roofer, there's a lot that goes into it.
Oh, sure. And I had my roof done last summer. Yeah, that's right. I had it done last summer, so I'm well aware of that.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things you just have to do. You hate it because you spend a lot of money on it, but it's a must thing to do.
Well, yeah, and it's not something that, I mean, it makes your house look nicer for sure from the road, but it's not like painting the inside and maybe a new kitchen or something like that.
You don't get to see it every day.
It's a must. That's right.
Anyhow. Well, I'm doing a feature as well with an Emily Kaufman, and she's known as the Travel Mom. And we're going to be talking about summer travel. And the reason I actually did the interview with her this morning, because it has some timeliness to it, because she's saying you can still get some great deals. She focuses on family travel.
Okay.
So she's submitting that if you get on things right now, you can still get a good deal. So she'll be up in just a few moments on that.
That's very timely.
Speaking of summer, I'm going to be talking to a Dr. James Collier. He's from Modern Dermatology, skin care.
Okay.
Skin protection and all the things you can do to try to not get skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get into that in a little bit more detail myself. Voices of history today. Okay, here's a hint.
All right, let's go.
Quote, "What hath God wrought?" End of quote. And wrought is, it's not rot. It's
right.
W-R-O-G-T. Think about who said that. He said it today. In the late 1800s. What hath God wrought?
I'm digging way back deep into my history class. It's in high school.
Eric? Right? Eric's. But Eric, what are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to finding out.
Okay. The one-hit wonder today is a local artist, singer. This song went to number one in Seattle and did reach the top 10 nationwide. One hit wonder.
Okay. Female artist.
Female.
Okay.
Correct.
Became a hit again once it was covered in the 80s, I believe.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the same artist?
Different artist.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're going to have to update us on that because I was thinking and read that a lot of artists sang the song before her with minimal success, and when she did it, it came out number one. But you're pretty confident you have it.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough. Comedy clip for today, Pat Cashman and Lisa Foster of Peculiar Podcast. They're talking about naming of sports stadiums. Only those two would come up with just a little bit different view on what's going on now, and it's interesting, funny, but it's very thought-provoking as well. How far will we go in sports stadiums to name these stadiums, and does it matter who they are? And they'll get into some detail there.
Oh, that's great.
So we look forward to having them coming up once again. Just again, what this show is about. We talk with people with experience in public affairs, travel, fitness, education, and entrepreneurship. So we'll be back in just a few moments, very few moments, with my interview with Miss Emily Kaufman. So welcome back to Voice of Experience after that very short break. Anyhow, the interview we're going to have in just a few moments is, I just mentioned, with Emily Kaufman, otherwise known as the Travel Mom. She has built a really engaged community in terms of advising people to travel, a lot of travel enthusiasts across the country, and she really taps into that. She's been on Good Morning America, NBC Nightly News, The Today Show, CNN, but she gets her big break today.
That's right.
Being on Voices of Experience.
A record number of people are traveling this summer. Is it too late to plan an affordable family vacation just like the Griswolds did in their movie Vacation?
Well, I hope nobody's going to have that Griswold experience. I'm here to give you some tips and pointers to not have that happen. But we're planning a very robust summer travel season this year. According to Forbes, 87% of the people that they surveyed said they're going to be traveling as much as they did last summer, and 50% of those people say they're going to travel even more. And what does that mean for us? It means high airline prices. Tickets for airline travel are based on supply and demand, and there's only a limited number of seats to be sold. So one of the ways that we're going to get the most bang for the buck is with some road trips this summer.
I see. So that would be the Griswold approach, because they were talking about flying and driving, but they ended up driving. When is the ideal time to then book, you know, everything for lodging and airfare? And I assume earlier, like you said, it's supply and demand, but is there something to be said for, let's say you're leaving late, but there's cancellations and you can take advantage of that?
The challenge is that during the peak holiday travel weekends of, say, Memorial Day or 4th of July, you're not going to be able to find very many discounted deals. One of the things I recommend to everybody is to join the free loyalty programs for airlines, hotels, rental car companies, particularly those that have partnerships with credit card companies. Here's a great example. Choice Hotels has 22 different brands underneath them, Ascend and Cambria, mid-level stuff, Quality Inn, Comfort Inn, and they have teamed up with MasterCard to create two different Choice Privileges MasterCards with their Choice Privileges loyalty program. So you can get points for things that you're already buying, like gas or groceries, and use those towards hotel stays.
Now, is it too late to do that now for this summer?
No, absolutely not. In fact, it's a great time to do it, to start using your purchases. You actually get a bonus of a certain number of points with each respective credit card as soon as you make a nominal purchase fee. So you get bonus points straight away, and you can use them to stay in great places. I know folks from Seattle like to vacation in California. There's a great property that's called Casa Villa Mar in California that you can use your points for.
Where's that at?
That's in Port Hueneme, just outside of the Los Angeles area, just north of Los Angeles.
And are there any programs that people, let's say, are trying to, they get marketed to and things that may be on the side of scams that they should watch out for?
You know, it's hard to tell. Of course, we've got telemarketers. We've got all that nonsense going on. One thing that you can totally take advantage of is that we get perks and benefits for many things that we're members of without even realizing it, whether it's the big box stores or AAA or AARP. Those are some great programs to check out what your travel perks and benefits are. And those are not going to be a scam at all. You can rest assured that you're getting a great deal that way.
Probably the ones that are calling you the telemarketers, those are the ones to be careful of.
Yeah, I would shy away from those.
Any other things that people can do to actually bring down the cost of their vacation when they are traveling, and how long you should vacation, what to look out for, and again, maybe the best places to go?
You know, there's so many great places to go and visit. My advice is to book direct with the hotel. Then you're assured you're getting the best rate. You can also enter in some of your preferences that you need. Maybe you want a crib in the room or connecting rooms, and that way you get prioritized and they will see those things. Also, the credit card I was telling you about, the Choice Privileges MasterCards, as soon as you start purchasing, you start accruing points and getting bonuses. Something else to consider is visitor and convention center websites, totally free resources to learn what's going on in an entire destination. It's a comprehensive look at the whole place, and you'll get a calendar of activities and area attractions and maybe even some discounts and coupons to use in the destination.
So this is a good time to travel, even though there's a lot of people traveling now, and essentially it is a good time to go, hit the road?
Oh, for sure. Anytime's a good time to get away. You just want to be realistic about your road trip experience. Many times parents get the big idea that they're going to toss their kids in the car in their pajamas in the middle of the night and think they're going to sleep the rest of the way until you get to your road trip. That never happens. Once you're up, you're up. Mom and dad are tired, so they're bickering. Accidents happen when people are fatigued. Try and build that road trip into your vacation experience. Maybe consider stopping. There are more than 4,000 choice hotels within a mile from each interstate exit. So let's just go with being realistic.
How about a time frame, like a week, 2 weeks on the road if you're driving? Is there something along there you'd advise?
It's really hard to pinpoint that because each individual traveler knows what their limits and their potential are. Also, the number of places that you're going to go see. I think it's really important for people to remember if they're visiting a national park or a state park, you have to have reservations ahead of time. You can't just show up to those. So if that requires a little more planning and preparation, as do many of the theme parks that require reservations now as well.
Is there anything else before we go? And also, where can listeners go and get more information?
Sure, they can follow along with my social media, The Travel Mom, on Instagram and Facebook. I share travel tips, pointers, great destinations. I even give away a free trip every single week. And to learn more about the loyalty program and the credit cards I've been talking about, go to choicehotels.com/creditcards. Sid, I just want to wish everybody happy travels. Let's get out there and explore. Travel's the greatest teacher that there is.
When a flock of geese knocked out two engines on U.S. Airways Flight 1549 right after takeoff from LaGuardia Airport, who would you want in the cockpit? Captain Sully or a pilot on their maiden flight? If Captain Sully was your choice, then experience is important to you. And that's what Voices of Experience with Paul Casey is all about. People with experience in their chosen fields. A variety of topics are explored, including local and national public affairs, self-employment, travel, lifestyles, health and fitness, history, and adventure.
Welcome to this edition to Voices of Experience. My name is Paul Casey.
Now, Voices of Experience is simulcast on AM 880 KIXI and 1150 AM KKNW on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Voices of Experience is also rebroadcast on Kixie Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Visit voicesofexperience.com and take a 5-minute self-employment quiz. The higher you score on the quiz, the higher your prospects for success. That's voicesofexperience.com.
Well, welcome back. Enjoyed that interview with the traveling mom, and she gave some encouraging news to get out there and advise basically, probably though, airlines is not going to be your best choice right now. But if you're looking at it, you're going to have to look at a road trip.
Yeah, pack the kids into the station wagon, head on down I-90.
And you may see the Griswolds on the way, right? I use that joke enough.
Yeah.
Actually, when I was doing the interview, I cut another out.
You stopped that.
Would you get on with the interview, please?
I did like how she ended that. It's travel is one of the best educators. And
that's,
I think that's
right.
So true, too. And I've been on enough family. It's also a way to connect with your family members, because a lot of times you're all going 100 miles an hour in different directions. But you get stuck in a car or in a plane or on a train, whatever, and go to a destination. Starts off usually poorly, but by the end, it's like a reconnect. I like it.
Excellent. Another connection you can make is with the Tacoma Rainiers this Friday. Two tickets just popped up.
Nice.
And these two tickets are literally, well, right behind home plate on the first row, a little bit down, maybe four seats.
That's a long way of saying these are good seats, people.
Thank you. And you also get a complimentary beverages, wine, beer, soft drinks, water, spirits you have to pay for. You get a dinner, and it's just a wonderful time. You've been there, Eric. You've sat in the seats, so
yeah,
you know what it's like. So anyhow, this would be for this Friday And the two seats, we're just going to give them away to the first caller who comes in. Just leave a voicemail. Here's the number, 425-653-1166. Leave your name and, of course, your phone number so we can get back to you and tell you how you get the tickets. They'll be left at will call. We'll gotcha. Tell you that right now. And complimentary parking is part of this as well. It's a great experience. Got to say, I've had the tickets for several years now and really enjoy it. And you see a lot of people coming up. If you haven't been to Cheney, I don't have to oversell it. If you've been to Cheney, you're going to want these tickets.
The weather's going to be nice.
Yes, it is. It's going to be in the 80s.
Awesome day.
You'll meet Chester. And if you're good to him, he'll give you a newspaper during innings, and you can look at the history of baseball, like from 1961 and all the fun facts. He actually gave me a newspaper the last time I was there, and it was like, baseball needs to speed up. And he just handed me the paper and said, some things never change. And it's amazing, again, how it has sped up the game, these things that baseball has put in, like the pitch clock and all that has really, they're saying about 30 minutes is cut off the game, and it really flows a lot better. So
how about that number again?
425-653-1166. The first caller, again, leave your name, phone number, so we can get back in touch with you. 425-653-1166 for the Rainiers game this Friday night.
Awesome.
Okay. So we move into another baseball segment in the segment we're coming up right now, and that's with Pat Cashman and Lisa Foster called Peculiar Podcast. They talk about naming ballparks.
That when my wife and I used to watch Seahawks games, and if they were losing, Patty would throw up her hands and say, well, no wonder the other team is hogging the ball.
That's exactly how you lose.
Yeah, that's how you lose. Speaking of sports, my summer love has been the Seattle Mariners' unlikely and remarkably improved fortunes this summer. Now, it could still all end in hopeless misery, but as of
that's what you say every year.
Well, because that happens every year. I mean, it's not with there's a foundation to my belief there. But it looks pretty good. They're playing well. It's fun. And some people don't give a hoot about such things, but I've always loved baseball. And so it's cool. But I was thinking that they're playing now at a place called T-Mobile Park, which began as Safeco Field.
Oh, yeah.
But remember the days when stadiums just were what they were? There's Yankee Stadium. There was the Kingdome. Didn't have any corporate name to it. Now everything's got a corporate name.
Candlestick Park. I remember watching the San Francisco Giants or whoever the hell.
Yeah, they were Giants. And it wasn't because it was sponsored by a candlestick company.
Right.
Yeah, that was the name.
Yeah, Wrigley Field. Yeah.
Well, that was Wrigley Gum, but yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay, I didn't know that.
Well,
why didn't they call it Wrigley Gum Field then?
Well, they did have an opportunity to name second base Double Mint, you know, but they didn't do that. But I was just wondering, you know, these are real names. Some of them are not all American names. Some are for soccer fields, but at the moment we have a place called Sleep Train Arena, which is asking a lot of fans to stay awake. Minute Maid Park, Whataburger Field. That's an Astros.
Really?
AAA affiliate. Yeah, Whataburger Field. There's Cheaper Insurance Direct Stadium.
Oh, my God.
And in England, I believe there's a Tony Macaroni Arena. And then in Glendale, Arizona, where the Super Bowl is going to be played this year again, they play that at University of Phoenix Stadium. And as you know, University of Phoenix isn't even really an actual physical campus.
It's an online school.
Yeah. I used to tell people that they say, well, where did you and your wife meet? And I said, well, I played football at the University of Phoenix for 7 years, and my wife was a cheerleader, and that's how we met.
And do some people get it, and others go, oh, that's so great. What a great story.
Oh, no, yeah. The latter is usually the case. Yeah, oh, that's so cute. I love that story. That's great.
So so great.
And the University of Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky is the KFC Yum Center.
KFC I actually like Yum. That one.
You like that one?
I would go to that one, KFC Yum Center.
But I'm just wondering, are there any limits? Should there be limits to stadium naming rights? What if the people from Xlax came forward and said, "We will pay you your highest fee to have naming rights for your stadium, Xlax Field,
or GasX Park"?
Yeah.
Would be great.
Yeah, or.
Well, I'll tell you, they came up with some great ideas for the naming of new baseball parks and gave us a lot to think about, as they always do. And, of course, that's Pat Cashman and Lisa Foster, Peculiar Podcast. And that's all you need to do is Google Peculiar Podcast, and you were there.
Yep.
So we do have a winner. It's for the Tacoma Rainiers game. I won't give the name out because we didn't say we would do that, but I will get in contact with them right now, so don't feel you have to call. We did have several calls, but we do have a winner for the Tacoma Rainiers tickets on Friday. We'll do this again in the season. There's probably it's a wonderful venue, so I'm not going to go on about that anymore. I want to move into now, and I hope you guys do too, our Voices of History segment.
Yes.
Okay.
Love this segment.
All right. So let's see if I can come up with some good ones again today. After 14 years of construction, the Brooklyn Bridge opens on May 24th, 1883, 140 years ago today.
Wow. It's still standing.
Still standing. You know, there's that, what is the PBS special on the Brooklyn Bridge construction? And I got to see that. You know, Ken Burns did it. Mm. I still haven't seen that. I kind of, every time I read something about this, like, I got to read that. I got to see that. President Chester Arthur was there. That was probably the only thing he was known for. I don't know much about Chester Arthur at all.
I don't either.
And also, soon-to-be president, Governor Grover Cleveland, was on hand for this 140 years ago today. All right. So in the hint I gave at the beginning of the program, what was that again about? What hath God wrought? That was today. It happened in 1844. Samuel Morse sends his first message with this new invention on the telegraph, and that's what he said.
Ah.
Okay.
Did he use Morse code?
I would think so. Okay.
He just called it code. A lot. It was just code.
Yeah,
then.
Just code for.
They're like,
yeah.
Right.
Let's call it Morse code.
He was calling it Sam code.
Now, I'm going to research why he said that. I don't understand that. Maybe I got to do that more. I'm interested. It's like thinking, this isn't God. No, this was you. I thought you invented it.
Maybe he envisioned fact that we would come to a day where everyone's staring at their phones.
Now we're all connected with the telegraph. Yeah. It's just going to be nothing but
maybe
misinformation.
Oh, that'll never happen. Let's see. 1843. 1,000 men and women and children climbed aboard their wagons and steered their horses west out of a small town of Elm Grove, Missouri, and they were headed to Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Oregon Trail.
In 1843, the Great Migration West.
There are still places in eastern Oregon where you can see the wagon ruts.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Jeez. Did not know that.
Well, think about all the wagons that came through.
Oh, you're right.
And it's just a field, and you'll see.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
It is. On May 26, 1927, Henry Ford and his son Edsel, I didn't know his son was named Edsel, but that's where the Edsel car came from, I imagine. They drove off the final Model T Ford out of their factory on May 26, 1927. They had made 15 million Model Ts, but that was the last one that was produced on May 26, 1927. On the local front, on May 22nd, 1903, President Theodore Roosevelt visited Chehalis, Washington, and the next day he signed in as the inaugural guest at Seattle's Washington Hotel that was located on the top of Denny Hill. He then went on to Fort Lawton and then went to visit North Yakima before heading off to Walla Walla to speak at Whitman College.
And what year was that?
That was 1903. You know, could you imagine getting out here in 1903 and then going east of the mountains. Like, I mean, I drive to Pullman and look at the highways and stuff, and it's a long drive. Can you imagine it that?
Yeah, it had to have been train, I guess.
Air Force One was just a hot air balloon back then.
Yeah, very true. It's hard to believe. And then in 1908, also President Teddy Roosevelt, there was a U.S. Navy Great Fleet that went from the Atlantic around the Pacific. Now, I'm thinking, I got to look this up again, and that is, I would imagine they went around South America's. I don't know if, you know, they were able to go through the canal, if the, you know, canal had been built then. I know it was around that time, but was it open? That's my question. We've got to research that.
Yeah,
Panama
okay.
Canal.
Panama Canal opened August 15th, 1914.
Okay. So obviously then it went all the way around South America because they went on the West Coast, came in the Puget Sound, all these phenomenal ships. And one of the vessels was called the USS Nebraska, which was built locally by the Morgan brothers in their shipyard 4 years earlier. And that was called, again, the Nebraska. And that was the only battleship ever built in Washington State.
And it's called the Nebraska. Well, interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. I thought these were kind of fun today. So we'll be back in just a few moments. I had a conversation with Dr. James Collier, and we're going to talk about skin care coming up this summer. Well, Dr. James Collier, I actually had this interview with him about a year and a half ago, and he's one of the principals at Modern Dermatology. And under the reality and wanting to do full disclosure, I am a patient of Dr. Collier, and I've been going to him for about 15 years now. And when we had this conversation, we were talking about skincare, melanoma, basil, things like that, and things that you can do to really protect yourself. So let's have the interview, and I'll come back and talk about some of my interactions with him.
Yeah, so that's definitely true. So too much exposure to ultraviolet rays, so UV rays, which include like sunlight or going to tanning beds, which is a really bad idea. Then those are that's the big risk. The risk grows with the more amount of exposure you have.
Can you get too little sun, though, too? Can you overdo it the other way?
Living in the Northwest, you know, most of us are really on the lower end of the vitamin D spectrum. And so, you know, taking a vitamin E supplement, and specifically vitamin D3, can be really beneficial as far as that's concerned. But because you wear sunscreen doesn't mean you're not going to make vitamin D production. And, you know, I think that people should live their life and do things outdoors. We live in a beautiful place. Just be smart about it. You know, using a broad spectrum sunscreen. So broad spectrum means it protects against UVA and UVB rays. Two main categories of sunscreen. So one is a physical or mineral sunscreen versus a chemical sunscreen. So a physical sunscreen, and the ones that most dermatologists recommend are going to be zinc oxide or titanium, because they all sit on your skin and they'll reflect UV radiation. Okay, they're broad spectrum. They have the best broad spectrum coverage of any sunscreens. Most dermatologists without question would recommend a mineral or physical sunscreen that has like zinc or titanium in it, because it's going to give you better protection anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's probably safer for you as well.
Sure. Now, you go so far as to recommend some products, or would you be comfortable doing that?
Oh, as far as like specific sunscreens?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So there's some really nice ones on the market now that are inexpensive. There is one called ISDIN, and it's ISDIN is the name of it, and they carry zinc-based sunscreens. And they're really light and easy to apply. Another one that has actually chemical and physical sunscreens, but mostly physical, is one called Supergoop. And a good kind of daily one that I really like is called Supergoop Mineral Sheer. It's really light and easy to use.
What other advancements have there been made in skincare, let's say, since you began 15 years ago?
There's a few things. So kind of a really hot topic right now is, you know, we've traditionally, like, skincare has been like, oh, a moisturizer and a face wash. that actually we're now, there's been a lot of development in, as far as like dealing with more specific areas of the skin, like crepiness or fine lines and wrinkles, building collagen. And those are called peptides or stem cells or growth factors, and they stimulate collagen production and also can help with cell regeneration. So it's actually kind of stimulating the building blocks of thickening skin and having healthier skin. As far as also, say, over the last 20 years, I mean, minor cosmetic procedures also have just been booming. And so there's little things you can do in your 30s and 40s to age really gracefully, so that you're not at 65 or 70 being like, oh, I should have done something many years ago. And there's minor procedures. You know, there's lasers that help with resurfacing for fine lines and wrinkles. There's lasers that help with the red spots, brown spots.
You know, it's interesting. You should say, like, again, it would be like earlier the better. If you do things like in your 30s and 40s, you won't have to be so evasive if you wait till your 60s or 70s to do it.
Oh, that's 100% correct. And unfortunately, there's a little bit of a stigma that has previously been attached with like doing cosmetic procedures at a young age. It's like, hey, you know, you're only 30, you're only 40, why are you doing this? But if you do little things earlier on, then you're just going to age gracefully.
How often should someone come into a professional like you and get their skin looked at?
According to the Skin Cancer Foundation, most adults should be, this skin exam should be performed once a year. And especially if you're high risk or over 50 years of age or have a lot of moles, if you have a history of skin cancer, you might need to be seen more often, or a history of, you know, there's also some things that are pre-skin cancerous that sometimes we like to follow up a little bit more often than a year. Early detection is incredibly important, especially for melanoma.
Let's go there with melanoma. We hear about that. That's the one that just seems like you'll freeze if someone says you got melanoma. And so what are the myths and what are the realities of melanoma?
Well, so melanoma is basically skin cancer of pigment. So it's moles. That's what we're looking for. And we're looking for, you know, dark brown, black, flat moles. And that just look kind of like the ugly duckling. Here's the reason why melanoma gets, when people hear that, they cringe. And that's because if melanoma is diagnosed late, then your survival rates are very low. With early detection of melanoma, and this is once again why you want to see a dermatologist once a year, is because early detection can make all the difference in the world.
Okay, and how about basal?
So basal cell skin cancer is the common skin cancer. It's the skin cancer that is derived from chronic sun exposure. So most people are going to get it on their face, on their nose, on their temples, on their forehead, on their ears. And this is mutations in normal kind of skin cells that just start mutating because of all the UV exposure, which causes mutations. And so this skin cancer is not like melanoma where it wants to spread to other parts of the body. Thank goodness it can if you let it sit long enough, but it does have to be cut out, or otherwise it could just continue to grow on the skin. Pretty much it's just, if you haven't been to a dermatologist or been established with one, they're the experts in skin, a board certified dermatologist, and you know, they can answer all sorts of questions for you, ranging from aesthetics to medical dermatology.
And that's Dr. James Collier, dermatologist with Modern Dermatology, and he's located on Seattle's South Lake Union. I did say that I am a patient of his.
Yep.
And I've been that for 15 years or so, and the reason I mentioned that is when I did that interview, we talked about basal, which I've had cases of that, but melanoma, we talked about that, and at that point, I was asking him some questions, and being, again, my doctor, I went to him about a year ago, and I got one of those uh-oh, and it was a melanoma.
Ooh.
And it was on the tip of my ear. And it was the good news is that after I had the test and they sent it out to the labs, he said, well, it's between 1 and 10. He said, if it's 1, you're good. I mean, it's not going to be a big deal. If it's above 8 or 9, well, we better start making plans, kind of.
Okay.
But it came in at 0. So that was good news, and I got it treated, and I'm in great shape. And the odds of saying I'm going to get it in other places isn't that great. But what he has said, and it's so true, when you have something that personally occur, because I'm going every 3 months now, and have since then, and it's no problem. But when people say, and doctors say particularly, get it checked frequently, and they can catch it, and you'll get past it, it's so true. Yeah. So I just wanted to add that personal note onto skincare.
100%. And, you know, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about, you know, living here in the Northwest and the effect of the sun.
Well, he talked about that. Yeah. He definitely said that. Sometimes we think because we're here, we're not getting the sun, and that's not true. But that's a very good point, Eric. That is a very good point. So, let's see. We got we got some time. Again, it always rolls so fast here. We got your interview coming up in a short time, and I'm going to head out and head to Tacoma.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to the game on Friday because we do have the winners, but I am going tonight, hosting some people down there, so I'm going to try to get down there. And, Eric, you're saying I-5 now, right?
it's like
what
changes.
It is.
It's changing
this
every minute.
Every minute. Yeah. Well, I'll get it before I go. Anyhow, just looking at some things, I saw if you saw the Seattle Times this weekend, I like stuff like this. I think you two, both Erics, do too as well. But Eric Lacitus had an article in the Pacific Northwest magazine, and it had to do SeaTac Airport, just statistics, a really good layout. I strongly suggest that if you get the Seattle Times and missed it, go back and see it, because it talks about just some of the things that go on at SeaTac in a monumental ways. Like, for example, this is interesting, is that there's a greater than 50-50 chance that anybody in the Puget Sound region has flown out of SeaTac at least one time this year of the entire population in this area.
Wow, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, how about this room? I have.
I got in last night.
Yeah.
It's 11 o'clock.
100% of us fly out of SeaTac.
And I'll bet if you walk everybody in this studio or in this radio stations, you would find the same.
Right.
Over 23,000 people work at SeaTac on a daily basis. That's the size of Oak Harbor, Washington.
And that's just the Cinnabon.
Yeah, that's just the Cinnabon.
Hey, no, you're quick today.
No, that's the line at Cinnabon,
right?
Absolutely. Or Starbucks, that's true. They handled 14.5 million pieces of baggage last year. There are over 850 TSA security officers that work at the airport. Scanners have improved immeasurably. The images that they're taking now, it was quoted as saying, somebody said, like a science fiction movie, but real. So you're not going to get things past them. That's a warning. I mean, it's just like, I guess it's advanced so great, because sometimes you see them, and how do they see anything in there? But I guess they're a lot better than they were. Over 17 million passengers went through the TSA checkpoints on their way to their flights last year. And in 2022, a record 113 firearms were found in luggage or carry-on bags.
Wow. That's the one that gets me. It's a ton of signs. At what point? I mean, come on.
Well, seriously, I think they forget. And that's what's even scarier.
Yeah.
That people are walking, where'd I put my gun? And then they're getting on a plane. Yeah, I think they actually do. And that's so prominent, guns and everything, that's what happens.
Wow.
Last time I flew, guy in front of me, I got pulled out of security. Two bottles of water right in front of him. After all this time, you would think that would be second nature to not have full bottles of water in your luggage. But
and there's all the signs and all the announcements.
Exactly.
Yeah, come on.
And if I'm not mistaken, I'm doing this from memory now, which is dangerous, but most of those guns were loaded, too.
Wow. Spooky.
And I think I'm going to ask another quiz here, and that is, what airlines carry the most passengers? What airline, you know, went out with the most passengers?
In SeaTac?
At SeaTac, correct.
I've got my guess.
I would think Alaska.
That's what I'm going with, Alaska.
They cover the whole region here.
I would have guessed that. But I didn't realize the share was this large, 54%.
Wow.
And then the rest
of
the airlines. So there's a lot of airlines at SeaTac, and it's surprising that I'm not surprised at SeaTac, that Alaska Airlines was number one, but that percentage of the payload,
Big
I guess,
time.
I was. So those are some little things, little tidbits we have going. So why don't we move to Eric's interview after a promotion of Voices of Experience? How's that sound?
Sounds good.
When a flock of geese knocked out two engines on U.S. Airways Flight 1549 right after takeoff from LaGuardia Airport, who would you want in the cockpit? Captain Sully or a pilot on their maiden flight? If Captain Sully was your choice, then experience is important to you. And that's what Voices of Experience with Paul Casey is all about. People with experience in their chosen fields. A variety of topics are explored, including local and national public affairs, self-employment, travel, lifestyles, health and fitness, history, and adventure.
Welcome to this edition to Voices of Experience. My name is Paul Casey.
Now, Voices of Experience is simulcast on AM 880 KIXI and 1150 AM KKNW on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Voices of Experience is also rebroadcast on Kixi Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Visit voicesofexperience.com and take a five-minute self-employment quiz. The higher you score on the quiz, the higher your prospects for success. That's voicesofexperience.com.
On today's Spotlight on Success, I'm speaking with Eric Trevsger, owner of Orca Roofing. We're going to be talking about tips for Northwest homeowners when it comes to the world of roofing. If you've ever replaced a roof, you know there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of concerns, and angst. Well, I wanted to bring an expert on, and that's what Eric is. He is owner of a company that's been around for quite a while. We're going to learn about that and also what they're doing as they continue to expand. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Great to be here.
I appreciate it. Well, let's get right into it because this topic, I wish I had met you about a year and a half ago prior to us having our roof done because it was a lot of angst, as I speak of angst. We had a tile roof, an old-style kind of Spanish tile roof on our Northwest home, and it was supposedly a 50-year roof, but once they got to taking it apart and things, they found that water had seeped through and really done damage to the house because of all the needles and leaves and things that had never been properly cleaned. So we've switched over to, I guess it would be called an asphalt roof, is that correct? Asphalt shingle roof. And we're happy with that. But I'm curious, as we look at the Pacific Northwest, what is the best roof for this region?
Yeah, great question. You can't go wrong with asphalt shingles as you did for your own house. That said, it has a limited lifespan. They are oftentimes marketed as 50-year roofs, whereas the reality is an asphalt shingle roof will last between 20 and 25 years if properly installed. I would say the best roof for the Northwest is either a standing seam metal roof, which is a true 50-year roof, or a Brava composite style roof, which is another true 50-year roof. The problem with the asphalt shingles, the tile roofs, as you saw, is it doesn't have the same lifespan in the Pacific Northwest with the pine needles, with the rain, with the precipitation that you might get somewhere a little bit drier.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges with the weather we have here, and the trees don't help, I would imagine.
Right.
Now, metal roofs, I understand that you really need to be with someone who understands how to install those. They're a bit trickier, are they not?
They are, yeah. You don't want to make the mistake of having an asphalt shingles crew. Doesn't matter if they have 20 years of experience. You don't want to have a standard roofing crew install a standing seam metal roof.
Gotcha.
And the reason is it's really a different craft almost. My standing seam metal foreman actually came to roofing from the world of commercial sheet metal. He was a commercial sheet metal journeyman before he got into commercial roofing. And then he came over and started with us a few years ago from his commercial job. But it's very different. The details are very different. The way that you put together the panels are different. There's a lot of little things that really add up, such as hook eaves, such as lining up the valley, just a lot of details that that a lot of standard crews who are used to slapping on those asphalt shingles just don't understand and might not do the right way.
Now, you had mentioned, so you have separate crews doing different style roofs, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about Orca Roofing, how you got it started, who's involved, and where you service. What's your service area?
Sure. So we really focus on the east side. We're trying to become Bellevue and the east side's go-to roofer. So when it comes to our focus, when it comes to our core service area, we really just target the east side. So you'll see our trucks. We have a number of Tundras and Tacomas and dump trailers and whatnot. And you'll see them all over the east side, because it does seem about 75% of the roofs that we do are on the east side. That said, we do have an extended service area. We don't like to turn down leads, especially if they're referral leads. So we still do, you know, a couple dozen roofs last year in Seattle and up as far north as Edmonds and as far south as Kent, I think is kind of where we went. So we have an extended service area, which we're happy to go to, but we certainly focus on Bellevue and the east side. And that allows us to, I guess, refine our craft and really focus on what Bellevue uniquely wants.
Well, let's sort of go step by step. Let's say I go to your website, learn a little bit about your company, and then say, okay, you know what? I want to have someone from Orca Roofing come out. You come out, then what is the planning process like for someone who is looking to get a new roof?
Yeah, great question. So we actually have something on our website that I don't think any other roofing company has in the area. We actually have a roofing calculator. And so somebody can go to our website, and without getting an estimate, without reaching out to us, they can enter their information in. It's about a 10-question survey, and they put in square footage, pitch, what type of roof, and then it gives them a range. So it might be, say, your roof will cost between $23,000 and $28,000. And assuming that the measurements that they entered are correct, that range tends to be pretty accurate. Our estimates tend to fall in that range. So that is a great way for people to, when they're in the planning and the budgeting phase, to learn a little bit more about the estimated cost. That said, if you want a precise estimate, you're right. You call us up, we send one of our roofing consultants. We have two of them. They're both very experienced. They've been in the industry for many years. We do a much more thorough roof inspection than other roofing companies do. And we do that because we want to avoid change orders. We want to avoid the unexpected. We don't want to lure you in with a cheap bid and then tear off your roof, realize there's a lot of decking, or we have to install a chimney cricket or anything else. We're going to tell you all of those things that you need up front so you can properly budget, so you can plan on there being no change orders, and so we can plan on doing the job the right way. So our inspections are very accurate. They're very thorough. They do take more time. So we will be at your house for over an hour, probably about an hour and a half. But the bulk of that is not us talking to you. It's not us trying to sell you our services. You can still hang out on your computer, do whatever you want. The bulk of it is us up on your roof, in your attic, taking pictures, inspecting it, and making sure that we understand your needs for your specific house.
So once you've decided as a consumer, okay, I liked what I'm hearing here on the estimate. I've researched the company. The company looks wonderful. I'm going to go with Orca Roofing. What are some things, consideration for scheduling, different times of year? Do they get busy? How far out are you? That sort of thing.
Yeah, that's another great question. And that is something that we get asked fairly often. The answer to that is really, it depends. And the main thing it depends on, more so than the time of year, is the type of roof covering you're going with. So if you do want to go with a standing seam metal roof, those are, or a Brava composite roof, those are custom made to order for your exact house. So the lead time after we go and we have to take a critical measurement, build the roof and in the factory. And the lead time for that is usually a couple of months. So if you want a Brava roof or a standing seam metal roof, we're going to be a few months out. If you want an asphalt shingles roof, that is not a very custom roof. You buy a lot of shingles, you buy a certain amount of waste percentage, so you have leftover shingles, and you go to work. And we typically tend to be between 2 and 4 weeks out for our asphalt shingles roof. And then the last one would be low slope. So we do PVC and TPO, and low slope roofs, first of all, in Seattle, they are not a great idea. They're great roofs for the north, for the Southwest. They're great roofs for California. In my opinion, they shouldn't be done here in Seattle, but architects love them. They love putting those flat roofs and low slope, especially in Bellevue. So we do deal with it quite a bit.
Gotcha.
With that, we really try to do all of our low slope roofs in the summer. If we get hit by a rainstorm or some weather and we're in the middle of a slope roof, it's pretty easy to get that dried in and protect the interior of the house. If you get hit with weather when you're on a flat roof or a low slope roof, it's very difficult to keep that water out. And you're talking about potentially a huge amount of interior damage. So for the low slope roofs, we definitely try to do that in the summer. If you call us in January, we say, hey, do you mind waiting till June or July to get this done? And we'll give you the quote. We'll get you on our schedule. We have a number of low slope roofs on our schedule right now that we're not going to be starting until June, July, August.
Beautiful. Well, I'll tell you what, unfortunately, we're out of time. I can't believe it's already been 10 minutes. There's so much more I want to ask you. So I'll definitely have you back if we can schedule that out, because there's so much, again, I'd like to ask you. But I would like people to know your website so they can go there and get started. And I love the fact you have the estimator on there as well. It's orcaroofing.com. That's O-R-C-A roofing, altogether.com, orcaroofing.com. Learn more. I think just by listening to Eric, you'll see why I had him on here. I have no sort of dog in this fight. He didn't work on my house. He's not going to be at this point, hopefully, unless we get leaks. But I just found him to be extremely knowledgeable. So thank you so much, Eric, for your time. Good luck with your company. And I'm sure we'll see more and more of your trucks out there on the roads.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Eric. It was a lot of fun.
Appreciate it. Again, that's orcaroofing.com. Join us again next time for an edition of Spotlight on Success. Well, just like in baseball, we got called up, Eric. Major leagues here. We're going to close out this show for Mr. Paul Casey, your host, who's out there on the highways and byways right now, probably listening to us on either 1150 AM or, of course, Kixie 880 AM. This show also goes to podcasts. I want to remind you of that. So if you like it, if you've heard something on here you want to relay to a friend or a family member, or just hear it again, check out the podcast on the KKNW website under the podcast tab, and you'll see it right on there, Voices of Experience. We are out of time, unfortunately, Eric. It's been a great show. It's a wonderful day out there right now. We're heading into a holiday weekend. That's nice. That sounds good. I hope you have good plans and you're going to be out there safe and sane. If you have any comments about today's show, please call the Voices of Experience hotline at 425-653-1166. That's 425-653-1166. Paul really does take to heart all the comments that you have about the show, and quite often it helps us pick guests and topics and subject matter and things like that. Want to say that VOE, or Voices of Experience, airs on Kixie Wednesdays at 3 p.m. and is simulcast on Hubbard's sister station, KKNW AM 1150. Let's go right to the quote of the week. An appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile, hoping it will eat him last. Winston Churchill said that. I'll tell you what, we've got Timeless Classic coming up next, but I want to thank you, Eric, for your help today.
Thank you.
Let's
great
go
show.
To it. Timeless Classic. Here it is.
This week's one-hit wonder was composed in 1967 by Chip Taylor. After hearing the Rolling Stones song Ruby Tuesday, he was inspired to write the following lyrics and musical score. Many different artists recorded this song. To name a few, Connie Eaton, Mary Mason, Olivia Newton-John, Betty Swan, and again, many more. Now, this song didn't get any traction at all, but then it became a huge hit in the United States, Britain, Canada, New Zealand, and numerous other countries when a very young talent from Seattle stepped in and said, hey, let me have a shot at this. Give me the mic. From 1968, Seattle's own Merrily Rush, I'm sure you know the song, but just in case, Angel of the Morning.
There'll be no strings to bind your hands, not if my love can bind your heart. And there's no need to take a stand, I who chose to start. I see no reason to take me home. I'm old enough to face the dawn. Just call me Angel of the Morning. Angel, just touch my cheek before you. Angel, then slowly turn home.
about me. Maybe the sun's light will be dim, and it won't matter anyhow. If morning's echo says we've sinned, well, it was what I wanted now. And if we're victims of the night, I won't be blinded by the light. Just call me angel.